Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Fuck it.
It's the headphones every time. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today's April 1st.
Rent is fucking due.
Monday, and beware of jokes on you because today is April Fool's.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that shit.
Right?
Yeah.
And people do sometimes bullshit. I thought it was a joke when I drove to work and there were no traffic whatsoever.
Mm. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I feel like there was more traffic this morning than ever.
Really?
Yeah, because I left at the same time and I got here like at 7. I mean, like,
wow.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on? Even on Laurel Canyon, it's usually like pretty flowy.
Right.
Bumper to bumper.
Really?
I was like, what?
Wow.
Yeah.
You see, usually for me, it's bumper to bumper. Today, we're doing 80 miles an hour almost the whole way, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's pretty fast. So.
Oh, that's how fast they go, yeah.
Slow it down.
Take it easy.
It's Monday morning.
The traffic halts to stop and everybody has to slow down,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it just works out that way.
Mm.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Looking good.
Thanks.
You going to work today?
Yeah. I wasn't supposed to work on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
So I've literally worked the last 4 days in a row.
Oh, really?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and today.
Right.
Yeah. And then I got Tuesday off because obviously I record my podcast, but then I go back to work on Wednesday. But then I have the whole weekend off unless somebody calls out and asks me to come in.
Cool.
That's what happened on Saturday. But Saturday was worth it because I got a lot of handshakes. So.
Yeah?
I was like, rent is due, baby. Let's go.
What does it mean you got handshakes?
So like on Saturday night, the wait for a table is like, it can be from 30 minutes to 2.5 hours. So people that give you a handshake are people that are like,
see
me now.
Money?
Yeah, see me now.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like, we got you.
And how much money do they usually slip you? $20?
No.
More.
Beverly Hills? There was one person that gave us $180.
Wow.
But you split it with everybody that's at the front desk, but it's still kind of cool because we weren't expecting that, you know?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
People have so much fucking money coming out of their ears.
Yeah, and not only that, the food there is expensive. So you just gave the hostess $180 to seat you.
Right.
On top of all the wine and the food you're about to drink.
So when they go out, they figure it's $1,000.
Yeah, minimum probably, you know? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
like if you go on a
close.
Date, you're at least spending $500-$600.
Yeah. Because
you think about it, if a guy's taking a woman on a date at a wine bar.
Right.
You're going to want to buy a bottle of wine.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah. That's true. Plus all the food.
Yep.
Yeah. It's crazy. You know, I mean, it's crazy. But just think how much more it is than what we spend.
Right.
You know, it's not like double or triple. I mean, you're going like exponentially here.
Right.
We go from $100 dinner to fucking $800 or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That people would spend this and then a couple hundred for you.
Right. But not everybody's like that. Some people will be like, hey, can you sit me sooner? I'll take care of you. And we fuck up because we don't take the I'll take care of you before we sit them. And then they never do anything. And we're like, fuck you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, tell them I'll take care of me in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, give me.
Really? Are you? Because I don't see anything right now. But I'm not the maitre d', so I can't say shit. I just stand there.
But tell me something. Don't other people notice that they give you money and they get pissed because they have to wait in line?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pay up.
Do they tell you?
No. I mean, not since I've been there.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's been moments in time where somebody had like a freak out.
I think they just stand there seating or something going, oh, look at that. You know?
Yeah, no, but I mean, fucking yeah, money. Look at that.
Yeah, look at the money.
Yeah.
This guy's... Money
handles some shit.
Exactly.
You don't want to stand up any longer. Have your husband give us $40.
I don't think the restaurant could get away with that, though.
No, I mean, we can never literally look at a customer and say,
right.
we want to sit down, pay us. We can't say that. It's literally if they choose to.
Right.
There was a night I worked a couple, maybe like 2 weeks ago, and it was dead. There was no wait. And the guy still tipped us for sitting him.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you this. If the guy, what the fuck was I trying to say?
I have no idea.
I know you don't. That's why I'm trying to say it, you know? Oh, but does the restaurant pay you?
What do you mean?
Like the restaurant.
The restaurant knows. Obviously, all the managers know, yeah.
They do.
Yeah, yeah. It has to be approved because some restaurants you can't take handshakes, you'll get fired.
Right.
Yeah, but our restaurant, like everyone knows.
Okay, yeah. So it's cool.
It's not like we're doing it secretly.
Right,
no,
right.
All the managers know.
No, yeah. I mean, you'd be crazy to, but.
Well, there's a drawer too. Like, so yeah. There's like a hostess stand and there's a drawer and we keep all the handshakes in there and we divvy it up at the end of the night. Right. And the managers come over to get like mints or whatever out of the drawer, like they can see how much we're making.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not like, it's like we're doing shady business.
Right. Yeah. I guess. I don't know.
I think it's cool.
I'd be pissed if I was a customer though, and I had to wait, and then somebody gives you money and I have to wait. But most people probably don't even notice.
Yeah. I mean, it's very secretive sometimes. Yeah, like they literally do it as if like they're holding your hand or something.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right.
Like there was I worked last Wednesday and there's a guy that came in and the maitre d' who was working actually was supposed to have a table set up for them outside, but she forgot. So I was like, we got a table in the back and it was like him and his family and I brought him back and his daughter loved the boots that I was wearing. Uh-huh. And then the table was facing like a cheese box. So like you could see them making like the sandwiches and stuff. And the little girl was like fascinated by it. Gave us $100 for putting him at the wrong table.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, all right, bet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. So how many ways do you have to split it?
So Sundays, it's only two of us. So yesterday yesterday there was no handshakes though because it was dead. Yeah. I left early last night. I got there at 1. I left at like 8:45 because I was like, I'm out, girl. I'm tired. Like I was exhausted yesterday. Saturday, we got no hand. I closed, so I didn't get home till like 2 a.m. on Saturday.
Right.
But when we got the handshakes, it was around like 10 or 11 when it's like super busy because people come in last minute for drinks too. Yeah. So not everyone wants to eat, but they don't want to stand up at the bar because the bar is super crowded. There's nowhere to go.
Right.
So at the end of Saturday night, there was only two of us, which isn't bad.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. But so you're making decent money there though, right? Do you feel that?
No, that was the first night. Saturday was the first night I've gotten handshakes since like I basically started there.
Really?
Because I do mid shift. Yeah. I'm usually 1 to 9:30.
Yeah.
I only work closing on Saturday because a girl was super sick and asked me. Literally, I was like running around. I took an Adderall on Saturday. I was like, I'm going to take a million Instagram pictures. I'm blow drying my hair. I'm filming 10 YouTubes. And then she texted me at like noon.
Yeah.
And was like, hey, can you cover for me? And I was like, fuck. And I didn't want to.
Yeah.
But I said, yeah. And I'm actually glad I did because I made a decent amount of money.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, you can walk with your nose up in the air now, a little more confident that you're making money. It's not like you don't have to feel poor. You know what I'm saying?
No, I still feel poor for
Do
sure.
You?
Yeah. 110%.
Okay. Then work more.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to a job interview tomorrow at a nightclub.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm going to try to get a bartending gig in there. Because if I can do the host job and bartend, I think I'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
How you doing? Oh, his mic's
well,
not on.
Yeah. Well, a guest just walked in out of the blue. I think he landed into the studio from the ceiling. And yeah, bring up the mic a little bit for you. Wow.
Yeah, that's tall. Yeah, that's tall.
You're that tall, Elon? Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
We're joined by Elon, who's a very good friend of mine. He's been on the show a few times. And we're thankful to you for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, I see you didn't bring your Tibetan bowls with you today.
No, not today.
Okay, good.
I figured, you know, I talk about sound and about how to empower yourself on my show. So I come here and just hang out. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Elon's been here several times. But we were connected through somebody, a mutual friend on Facebook. And you came on the show and we had a connection, like a bromance.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like,
there you go.
And we've, so we become good friends. And you just went to Israel for a few weeks.
Two and something weeks.
Yeah. Really?
How long was that flight?
15 hours. About 14 hours.
Fuck that.
You die, man. I die. You know, I mean, I don't know how I ever did this.
There was two guys in the restaurant last night that were going to Australia.
Right. But I guess it's worth it for them, you know. So, what do you want to do? Switch the microphones?
Yeah, yeah.
Just why? Just sit on that side then.
So I'll sit on this.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that one?
No, it's just the
the way sound. It sounds. But it's all of them, not just this one.
I sound like I have a cold.
No, you don't.
You do
no,
not.
I think you're just thinking too much about
you.
It.
Yeah, yeah. No. You get me. Listen, when you guess,
you see, it's all about. It always comes to you.
Yeah,
it's always about you.
Yeah.
Well, but that's right? The thing. Some people have like different senses more sharpened than others, right. And he's very sensitive in audio to the way things sound. I know today there's not a lot of bass, but I'm not the last one that touched it.
No,
maybe you
fine.
Did, right?
No, your mic sounds great.
No, it doesn't. Yesterday. For me, it doesn't at all.
Yeah,
I feel like my mic is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know, but it's really the level that we're involved in the sound.
Yeah, that's good.
So, anyway, so Elon's going to shoot the breeze with us this morning.
Yeah.
Is there anything specific you wanted to talk about that came across your mind? What was like profound for you when you were in Israel? What do you, one or two things that you really remember that affected you?
Well, the whole reason for going to the family was 35 years we ran together as a family.
Right.
Together, because everybody is in one part of the country or the world or stuff like that. And it was really just to come and to be immersed again into this whole energy. It's like a pressure cooker, you say in English, right? Or cooker pressure.
Pressure cooker. Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how you look at it, you're pressed.
Right. A pressure cooker is like when you make soup, right?
Well, I mean, but it's also a saying for like if you are...
Yeah, like
mad. Yeah, yeah, like no, man, like he's pressed. It's like slang.
No, it's like the energy. Everything is very intense. So it is intense in the sense that everybody is no time. Just do this,
like
do
pressured
this, do
and
that.
Stressed out and shit like that. Yeah, pressure cooker.
And
pressure.
And the thing is that I sat in a corner of Ben Yehuda and Idelson. And Tel Aviv. And okay. Ben Yehuda is the one who...
Those are two streets.
Two streets.
Okay, yeah.
The corner of two streets. Yeah. No,
corner of two streets,
okay.
Right? And there's one guy, Ben Yehuda, who revived the modern Hebrew language. And Idelson was a woman who fought for Jewish identity.
Right.
And you know, and it's not coincidental that I was there and everything comes down right after Purim, right after the Jewish holiday of a transcendence and the opposite of things. Right. And to see how the energies are really... Just really,
so you feel that.
Oh, you definitely. You can cut it. You can cut the air with a knife,
really,
so to speak.
Yeah.
But you know, it's where we grew. It's where I grew up, and you know, it's
yeah. That's there's fun. A lot of good memories there. I mean, when I go there, I like it.
Right.
But lately, I've just had no real motive to go. You know, nothing really that excites me. But my childhood was amazing. Right. I wouldn't have trained.
But I tell you that the energy is great. With all the pressure cookers, you feel the energy of creativity.
Right.
You feel it's not like you come here to LA. It's very comfortable.
Yeah, but very laid back here.
Yeah.
Very laid back. Very comfortable. Everything is comfortable. Nobody runs after you.
Yeah.
Out here.
Yeah. Unless you are on Instagram and you don't have enough likes.
You compare it to Israel. It's different.
Do you think you're ever going to go back?
No.
Really? Ever?
I'm American now, you know?
Yeah, but still.
I mean, I'm always Israeli in my blood, but I don't see a reason to go back.
You don't want to go like one more time before you die?
Oh, yeah, to visit.
Yeah.
But I would not
move. No, I don't mean move. I mean, do you think you'll ever go on like vacation there?
I don't know, man.
When you go to Israel,
it's the flight for me.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, when you go to Israel, when you go to Israel, for me at least, it's more of a. It's not necessarily a vacation because a vacation you go to Paris, you go to France.
Right.
But there you have everything tied that shaped or helped to shape who you are or who you perceive to be today.
Right.
So it's like going home, you know, going home.
And it is going home.
Yeah.
It's going home and find out new things about yourself you didn't realize when you were younger.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can
relate to that. So you don't want to do that?
I already have. That's the thing. I've gone back. I've connected with the memories of childhood.
Your parents still alive,
I lived there for a year, 20 years
ago. His mom is.
My mom is alive. Yeah. And
do you have any family there still?
No, well, just a couple of uncles and aunts. The most of them are here in the States, you know, Florida, New York, here.
Right.
And this is really also the family. Why would you go somewhere?
If your family's not there,
Your family. And so it's a place you grew up there many times. Listen, I lived in Boston for 14 years.
I lived in Boston. Yeah.
So she's from Boston?
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I lived in Boston, South End, and Brighton.
Yeah.
So I don't have their family, so I don't really feel I love Boston.
Right.
But I don't have anything to go there.
Right. See, you know, I do, because my family's still there, you know?
Yeah, for you, that's home.
Yeah, I get it.
So it's a family, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, but for me, it's the flight. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to handle 2 15-hour flights. You
know? Yeah, that's 30 hours total.
I can't do it in the air.
When we flew, I flew with my kids. My son took a sleeping pill before we even entered the security. And I told him,
really?
Why did you do that? So before we got to the airplane, he already was stoned.
Really?
Yeah.
So he slept the whole flight.
Really?
Yeah, that's what you need to do. You need to get a sleeping pill.
What type of sleeping pill is that?
I know,
shit.
To keep you 15 hours.
Right. Yeah.
Well, maybe if you're...
Was he asleep before takeoff?
He looked like he was on... Very high substance,
right.
But it was only a sleeping pill, and I was getting nervous. I forgot. It's like, oh, you took only a sleeping pill. That's all right.
Yeah. I take Xanax.
But even if you sleep like, let's say, 10 hours here and there,
right?
It's still like 4 hours. You can find something to do.
Right.
Well, I mean, you have TV all the time, nonstop.
Right.
Brand new.
Who can watch that shit all the time?
I can watch. Definitely could. But I just can't. Like, I can't be in the middle of a movie and then we hit some turbulence because I'm melting the fuck down. I am melting down.
So you can't watch movies about airplanes crashing?
No, I've never seen Flight, and Denzel Washington is like my favorite actor of all time. Refuse to watch it.
I know, me too.
And I haven't seen the one with Tom Hanks. What is it called?
That one I saw.
The Hudson.
Sully, yeah.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Not Sully, Sully. That was it's like Sullivan.
I watched that movie,
Pilot.
United 83.
Yeah.
That movie fucked me up.
Really?
Yeah.
What was that about?
That was about the plane that went down before it hit the Pentagon.
Right.
You know, I was supposed to be on the flight from Boston. I had a ticket.
Really?
Flight 25.
I think
Boston.
You did say that before.
That day?
Yeah.
That day.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
I lived in Boston. I was coming to see my kids here in L.A. I had the ticket already, flight 25 from Boston. And then I had to change it because of work. I had to reschedule.
What?
God was like, see, this is what I'm saying. God already had a plan written for him.
Yeah, of course. Everything is organized. You know,
yeah.
Everything is, you have a plan, you have a path, you have...
No, but it's still something that you did that avoided you.
No, but we always have this argument.
Yeah, well, but we will forever because it's about...
But Sam,
okay. Does it bother you that we talk about it?
No, but it gives me anxiety.
No, but the thing is,
I start thinking about like death and shit, and I really don't want to think about that on a Monday.
No, it's okay. We'll respect
that. But death is really just a different life.
Yeah. Did you guys hear about Nipsey Hussle?
Yeah, that was shot down.
He was literally at my restaurant on Saturday night with all his friends and family having dinner. He left at 1 a.m. A few hours later, he died.
Yeah, a rapper got shot.
He's one of those rappers that is like trying to make moves in the community. Like he was opening like community shelters. He owned a store.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm. He's like a martyr, basically.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. People are comparing him to Jesus Christ.
Oh my God!
Because they both died at the age of 33.
Well, they both use plants.
Yeah, but just because he's a rapper doesn't mean he's not like you know.
No.
You could still like come from like a shady background.
Jesus Christ! Come on.
I mean, they both died at the age of 33, and him and Selena share the same. Death date.
So
I don't know.
That's looking for meaning and meaning.
Yeah,
but this is
what people do. It's because people don't understand death.
Yeah.
And the video.
Exactly. It's all about the fear of death.
You don't understand that.
No, it scares me. I hate it.
Nobody does. Yeah. That's why we have religion, I think, came out of the fear of death. Like,
really?
You know, I think
so. Is that
what
you think?
Yeah.
I don't think that.
I think people needed to explain. Why?
I don't think religion is because people are scared of death.
Why?
I think religion is...
From what? I mean, it always involves what happens to us.
Do you believe in Noah's Ark?
Right? Do I believe in Noah's Ark?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm in transformation right now.
Oh, because your religion is completely different than ours. Yeah.
No, it's not completely different, actually.
But like different stories.
Christianity grew out of the Torah, which is... the Jewish Bible.
That's correct. Right. Same thing with Islam.
That's the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the Jewish Bible.
Right.
Really. So it came out of there. How do you think religion started then? I mean, why? Why did religion come up?
Because
there's religions like everywhere in the world. And, you know, stuff that happened like in Asia and stuff, we have history that goes back longer than the Bible, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, when it becomes a dogma that also is needed for some people, because some people need that direction.
Why?
You know,
why?
because of their place in life, because the way that they are, they need to be told. There is like a herd and there is a shepherd, right?
Right.
And there will always be those who feel comfortable and the need to be directed and to be, you know, I don't know how much we can go into this here, but it's a complex thing. You know, Christianity right. didn't start 200 years after Jesus
right,
died.
Right, right.
And Islam started way later the difference between the religions, let's say right. Christianity, uh-huh. is that in Christianity and in Islam, nobody saw how God was revealed to them.
Right.
Mm. You know, and Judaism is the only one that everybody saw. So God told Moses, go down the mountain. He said, but I'm here. You know, no, right, go down, get your brother. And the minute he went down, then God revealed himself to everybody. So nobody says, oh, he's up in the mountain.
See, I don't
something.
Know. I don't know, like, yeah. the ins and outs. Like, so some story, so, like this story you're telling, I don't really know.
That's why sometimes when we discuss certain things, you know, if we don't know the entire picture,
right.
we can talk only about a certain thing.
Right. Like, right.
I think you know. You do know about this. Did you hear, you know, the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, okay. Of course, yeah.
So how were they given? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
Or when. Okay, so the story is the people came out of Egypt.
Right.
Moses went up the mountain.
Right.
God gave him the Bible, which is the Ten Commandments, which is represented the Bible, really. And so the Bible was written by God, given to Moses, and everybody witnessed it.
Right.
That's what he's trying to
say.
That's it's big not picture. Like
Muhammad is Moses says, is Moses the one where the water separated?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So I know, like, bits and pieces, but
yeah,
like,
from
I,
the
I
movies can, and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Well, but I consider myself really, to be like, I like have faith, but I'm not like a religious human being.
Right.
Like, I don't,
and I don't think any of us are in this
but
room.
There's some people that are very religious.
Right.
Like they live their life by the Bible.
And that could be, you know, not to put anybody, God forbid, down, but that there is a dogmatic approach to things, you know, and this is why there are certain fractions in Judaism that are really the fear factor. There is a fear factor. You know, there is a fear factor and there is a positive factor.
Mm.
And I don't subscribe to the fear factor. That's really a patriarchal thousands of years. If you don't do this, God is upset with you. But
right.
did you pay attention that being upset is a human condition
right.
and not a divine condition? So there are many things that were put in religion that will translate so humans can understand. If you do this, you will be punished.
Right.
You know, whether it is like that or not, we can sit and talk. I don't think that in this program, but
right.
But we can sit and talk. You know, it's so there is a dogma. The bottom line is, you are, it's a contraction of the infinite light, of divine energy, of
right.
everything is energy.
Right.
But hard to grasp that, you know what I mean? Because,
why is it hard to grasp that, but it's not hard for you to grasp Wi-Fi?
No, but
you don't see Wi-Fi.
No, I know.
Right, but and Wi-Fi on a plane, that right. freaks me out. Hey, this has never happened.
Anything freaks her out.
Yeah, no, it does. Listen, this has never happened since the year and a half I've been here, but I have to use the ladies' room.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
That's okay.
It's because I haven't eaten today and I've had like 10 of those.
It happens to the
oh,
best
wow.
of us.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, no so problem. I'm not alone.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, Elon, the thing is I've been reading yesterday, I was introduced to a book by Dennis Prager, whom he's a talk show host, a conservative talk show host, but not only he's done it for 30 years. Not only that, I find him to be one of the best thinkers in modern times. He's a Jewish guy. He's here in
what
LA. Dennis Prager, you'll have to look it up. If you're a conservative guy or even, let's say, rather religious or things like that, and you're looking for somebody to actually make sense of everything for you, he makes so much fucking sense. I actually went to see him with Adam Carolla about a couple of years ago, right after the election, when people were like really pissed at Trump and everything. Uh-huh. They came and talked about those safe spaces and colleges that they offered to people because, you know, people are so hurt by the things he says that will give you safe space here in college, you know, and
oh, really?
In the university and shit. So, yeah, anyway, listen. So the reason I said that is because he writes about politics, about happiness, things like that. But then he's just coming out with a book called Exodus, which is the second book in the Torah,
mm-hmm.
in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
and he writes commentary on it. And he started explaining, like he says, I'm writing it to people that believe in God. Some people don't. Some people are Jewish. Some are Christians. Whatever.
So what's his take? What's his take on the whole thing? Why is he deciding to write a comment? I mean,
right. I'll tell you why.
What's the?
Because he's grown up his whole life. He doesn't look like a Orthodox religious or anything, right? But he was raised in religious schools his whole life, and he explains to you why it's not a bad thing to actually have a religion and live by a religion, because, and he gives you all the good reasons why, things like that. But then he also talks about the reason he chose not Genesis, which is the first book, but the second, is because that's where laws were given and stuff, you know.
And there were laws also in the other books, not just in Genesis, though. No, not in Genesis, but you have also in Leviticus. So,
right, but he's starting in order.
Okay.
So, but when were the people enslaved in Egypt and given the Torah?
Yeah.
In Exodus, right? So that's why he's focusing on that.
Okay,
anyway, so it's like, there's a lot to it. There's no doubt about it, you know? But should we change some direction, go into something?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So, so, no, but it's funny because people can talk about things and sometimes you just don't connect to them.
Yeah.
You know, like when you weren't here, I had Brigetta and her friend. Who is a...
Where was I?
You were in...
Chicago.
Chicago.
Oh,
something.
That was months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, a friend of the show brought her friend here, and she says she's a sex expert and all that. She comes in, she starts talking to me in terms that I can't connect to with,
right,
like fucking energies and all this shit. I'm like, let's talk about sex, man. You know? And she's like, we are. I said,
sex is energy.
Yeah.
Right.
Sex is energy.
Yeah,
but she totally like deconstructed it to the point where I'm like, I'm not feeling we're talking about sex at all.
Well,
you know?
I don't know who she is, but,
you'd probably connect with her.
Yeah, he probably like her.
He loves all this shit, man. That's funny.
But it is energy, really. You know, look, if you're just about one night stand, going, hey, da-da-da-da, you know, that is why you feel, many times, one can feel very empty. And
right.
And what is happening is the soul that is in the head, you have is you're being you're tricking your spiritual existence, saying, I'm going to give you this. It'll be fun. So I say, okay. And then it's not. Now, you get 100. 100 is not enough. Now, you want 200. Now, you want 300. And I'm
saying,
very true.
But why?
Why? Because it is not the real. It is an illusion.
Uh-huh.
And the illusion is in the, if you put your focus on the physical, that's the illusion. It's the spirit that holds the physical. The ruach that holds the nefesh. It's like a car.
Right.
You have a driver and a car. You can have an elaborate car, but without the driver, without the soul, the car isn't going to drive.
Right. So you see how you can make sex unsexy? That's exactly the way she did it. So that's what I'm saying.
I mean, if I
talk about sex, I'm thinking of like discovering when you were a child, discovering your body, discovering other people around you.
No, I feel like sex is very complicated, but no one wants to understand or comprehend that it's complicated.
No, but
so
I
they
mean,
try
I
to trick themselves that it's
but
not.
Even,
I don't want to think about
but
sex.
Even
I want to feel
say,
it. I want to experience
but
it.
But even if you say sex, when you say sex, it is like you say, you know, not to compare, but just to compare for the sake of comparison. When you say PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress.
He's comparing that to sex. Okay.
No. I'm not comparing that to sex. That's why I said. I'm comparing the comparison.
Okay.
Meaning PTSD is an umbrella. And everybody who doesn't understand what it is just shoves everything under PTSD. So when you say sex, you think something, she thinks something, I'm thinking something, and everybody's like, yeah, sex. You think about sex from childhood, meaning that you're dealing with how you discover your body and how
I
you
discover...
I definitely
don't think of that when I think of sex, ever.
Really?
So
never.
She thinks
I
of
never
sex.
Think of, like, when I was 14, like, I don't think, I don't correlate that with sex, ever.
You see? So she
thinks... Yeah, you see, well, I started very early. I mean, I was playing doctor when I was four or five years old.
No, I lost my virginity at 14, which is really young. But even when I was when I lost my virginity, I really knew nothing about
sex. Right, you weren't into it yet.
No, and I only did it because I was dating this older kid, and I was like, oh, I guess well, this is what we're supposed to do.
Right.
But I wasn't
But, you know, I mean, I discovered, like, porn in my dad's things when I was probably, what, 11, 12?
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty young, you know? So it wakes you up sexually. I feel like
men have a different way of, and I'm not going to say all females, because I feel like I've met a lot of females that sleep with a lot of men and they just feel nothing when they have sex. I know I'm not that type of person. Like, I feel everything when I have sex. Like, I basically fall in love when I have sex. I don't know how the guy feels, but I think it's kind of impossible for two people to have sex with each other and have there not be any type of feelings. And I feel when guys don't call females back or don't want to see her again, it's because he's scared of how he felt when he fucked her.
Probably.
Well, I mean, also the way that you're talking.
Or he's a dick.
The way that you're.
But some of them just want different ones every night, you know? Go ahead.
Yeah, because they're trying to trick themselves into, because they don't have the ability, or they don't think they have the ability to have compassion or passion for
anybody. Do you think it's the same way where, like, just like you described, that guys are afraid, let's say, to commit? Let's say that's true.
Right.
For the same way for you. When you are having sex, you're falling in love with a person.
Right.
Which is also if that is what causes you to fall in love and to commit yourself to that person, there may be something there to look at, because if you're...
Oh, yeah, no, I'm fucked up, for sure. Yeah. 100%.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
At least she said that.
Yeah. I got issues, for sure. Ain't nobody denying that. Yeah.
Listen, we all come here with scratches, you know what I mean?
Dance in the car.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like the scratches on the record, remember? You didn't live when we had like vinyl records.
No, but I actually, for my dad had one that was his grandmother's, and it broke, and he was like devastated because he has like so many records, and I like literally ran around town one Christmas until I got him one, and it was
really?
Like, yeah, and then I got it like spray painted and fixed, so it was like red and black and looked really cool.
How cool.
I was when I had money, I was really creative on my gift giving.
Yeah, sounds good.
Now I'm like, Merry Christmas. So, have a good one.
So you saw it like runs with the needle, right?
Yeah.
So you can scratch the record, and then it jumps from one side to the other. So that's why I call it scratches. You know, we all have that scratch where we have to overcome that and deal with it, you know, I think. And until I truly feel that until we learn to overcome whatever is the big deal in our life, you can't move forward, you know? I mean, it's sort of like a dragon, sort of an obstacle in the way, and you have to slay that dragon to move forward.
Yeah, but last night I cried for like 2 hours when I got out of work, yeah. I think it might be the Adderall.
That's it. I cried for 3 years.
Yeah, no, I cried. Really? I cried a lot last night. Like wept.
Why?
I have no idea.
You just started crying.
Yeah, and I get, every couple of months I get like this, and I'll call Gabby, and I'm like, I don't even know what.
But it's not regular or anything.
No. Okay. Like, no. I just had like a.
Because then I think you're depressed.
No. Because I think it's just like I'm semi-lonely, but I'm not lonely.
I can imagine. You like to have guys around.
And I'm turning 31 and like, a really? Month and a and yeah, literally almost like a month and 18 days. About to be 31 in this bitch. Yeah.
See, that's the thing. My daughter's 29. You saw her picture. She looks 15.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good thing.
It is.
My sister has a almost 6-year-old. Yeah. She does not even look like she has kids.
Wow.
She looks young.
I have a cousin
young.
Who's in her 40s. She looks 18. I mean, I can't believe this. Some people can really stay like young looking, you know?
Yeah.
Usually women is what I saw, because I know my first wife, she had someone in the family who always looked 16, and it was amazing to me, you know?
Yeah.
So some people are that, you know, lucky that way.
Yeah, some guys don't age either. Like Idris Elba, I think, has looked the same like for years and years and years and years. Idris Elba, the British actor.
Right.
He has looked literally the same for like decades now.
Yeah. Photoshop.
Yeah, true. That could be it too. You just never know.
Oh, wow.
So you feel down today or what?
No, I feel fine today. It was just yesterday I had like a moment, and I was like at work, and I was like trying not to cry while I was at work. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Yeah. I just felt like overwhelmed with emotion, but I also think it might be the Adderall, you guys.
Probably. Then get the fuck off of this.
I just took one this morning.
Are you on Adderall?
I my friend gave me hers, and I probably shouldn't be taking.
Self-medicating. Yeah. I mean,
well, I only have like a half a pill left because I'm just so tired all the time, and when I take it, I feel like so like alive.
Right, but that's shortcuts. You know, that's just a temporary.
I know.
That's temporary.
So I took
and then what happens?
I took one yesterday, and then I wept, And then last week when I took one, I wept.
So you crash after.
Crash. Yeah, and I think it's just like my emotions are all over the place.
No,
like,
no, you're taking chemical. Chemically, you're imbalancing yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you don't, I don't think medication, whole thing, is a whole different story. Because I work with sound and work with other plants and.
I don't take Adderall for emotion or anything. I just take it so I'm like more focused and I get more shit done.
Yeah,
like this morning, I woke up at 5 to get ready for the fucking day, and I was like, "Oh, I'm so tired."
What happened if you don't take it?
I don't know. I only have one pill left. I'll just go back to regular life.
No, she still came in here. I mean, every day, even when she's tired, and me too. You know, so it's just like you learn to live with it.
Yeah.
But I'm doing something about it. I'm going to the sleep clinic next week.
Oh, you're going to sleep?
Yeah, because I need to be able to sleep better.
Yeah.
At night. Are they going to do like a sleep apnea thing test?
Yeah.
I've done that. Yeah, really? Many years ago in Boston. Yeah, they gave me this big ass machine.
Well, you stick it on your nose. The CPAP?
CPAP.
Oh, no, not anymore.
Did it work for you?
It worked for a while, you know, especially if you want to scare somebody away.
Yeah. What the fuck? It's loud. But I think now they have smaller ones, so we'll see.
Yeah,
they have
smaller ones, but it's, you know.
I guess, look, when there's nobody there, but
basically it does it pushes, it forces the air
into your nose,
through your pipe, because many times you either have a long tongue that may fall back.
Ew.
Because you're
right. No, that's how it is. Usually there's just
what do you mean? Ew.
No,
what do you mean by a long tongue? What does that mean?
The base of a tongue that can fall backwards, and what happens is
like the tip.
No, the back of the tongue
here.
Right? So when you sleep, your head is, you're in a horizontal position, right?
Well,
so
how do you guys sleep?
No, all of us.
No.
It just means the tongue goes back.
The tongue goes back. It falls back with gravity.
Oh, okay.
Gravitatia.
I'm like, what?
Gravitatia.
Yeah.
And you go to sleep, and your tongue falls back.
Okay, you don't have to talk like Italian. You totally don't get it.
Your tongue falls back. And you know, or you have this what do you call this thing that I forgot the name of it, that in English that is like the punch bag.
Punching bag.
No. Yeah, the little punching bag.
The ball.
The little ball that dangles down your throat. What is that? Yeah. I don't even know the name of that. Yeah. I forget the name
so
of that.
So it can be big. It can be big,
like
an ostrich egg.
When you get sick, it gets big.
So that can block everything. You know? Mm. Or you may, if you have a broken nose or something in your nose, so you don't have.
You just don't breathe very well through your nose, which is me.
There are different ways. Yeah.
Which is me. So that's what happens. You breathe through your mouth, your tongue falls back, so the air is constricted, and you're waking up by your body every like few seconds. So, and you don't even realize it. You sleep through it for the most part.
And what happens is you have a headache in the morning, because if you're snoring. Which what happens, that's why people are snoring and people don't understand why sometimes.
Right.
You don't get oxygen to your brain and you have headaches in the morning.
Yeah, my dad had sleep apnea, but he had the surgery.
Yeah.
And he doesn't snore at all anymore.
Do you snore?
No.
You don't? You sure? How do you know?
I've asked every single person that slept next to me.
Yeah, she's still young.
People tell me that they snore, but you know, I don't hear anything, so I don't know what they want.
Yeah, I don't know.
You snore?
That's what they say, but I don't hear anything.
No,
so
I do. But you never know yourself.
I've never.
But record yourself on the phone. You'll
I don't
see
think I could date someone that snored.
No, it's hard. It's hard. There's no doubt about it.
Okay, so we're done. Because I'm snoring. So
I'm a snorer too.
No, I think I slept like next to like two guys that breathed heavy, and that was a lot.
Yeah.
And that was just breathing. That wasn't snoring. I was like, oh man, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
But I'm a pretty heavy sleeper, so if you're waking me up with your breathing, it's like,
But you know, when you go to sleep, your body relaxes completely. So what happened? Did somebody tell you maybe if you go to sleep and suddenly you let go of a little...
Fart? Yeah, I've done it before, for sure.
Oh, so why is that different? I mean, at least snoring doesn't smell.
That's 5 seconds of whatever.
Yeah,
it's
but
not
5 seconds.
It's not 8 hours of loud noises.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes it's 8 hours. You move the person. You kind of put them on the side. On the side, they don't snore. But then you're dealing with, you know, I read when I lived in Kansas City, I read that there was a... somebody like some like I think it was heavy. It was 300-400 pounds. And basically, he killed. Oh, it was in the site called the Darwin Awards.
Yeah,
and basically they tell there a lot about things about people do crazy things, like
right,
stupid things. And so this guy, he slept with a closed room, and he died from his own farts. And
Died from his own
because
phone.
He was so big and he was eating or whatever, and he they
so
picked
it
him
ate up.
Up
all the oxygen.
Yeah, and
are you he, serious?
It was a small. Yeah, that's what I read.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, I mean there are crazy things on the
like,
on that
it
side.
It has like methane. They say or does, something, yeah. Right?
That's really fucking disgusting.
Well, we have talked about shit here before, so that's
no. But I mean, imagine like no, you brought up gas.
Well,
I didn't bring up
you
gas.
You brought up interruption in sleep.
Yeah, so I was talking about snoring. No, but you guys,
but you said
this.
No. You said fart.
Yeah, no. You
no,
said
no. I said what happened if you let go of, and you said the word.
Yeah, I mean because we all knew what you were talking about. So.
Oh, so you said.
But I had an ex-boyfriend that told me.
Let's fucking deconstruct the conversation and see who said what.
Well, my ex-boyfriend used to tell me that I would do that, and I was like, I don't know if he's fucking with me or I've actually done that.
Yeah.
Because he's like a piece of shit, so I don't know if he was like just saying that to make me feel bad.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you farted last night in your sleep.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, and?
Yeah.
So?
That's true. Especially if you're not aware of it and you're sleeping. What the fuck, you know?
Yeah.
But it's the body, you know?
It's the body. Your body relaxes, you know?
But it's worse when you're having sex and it happens, you know? Like
I've never farted during sex.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Did you ever have like a pussy fart?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Those are funny. Right?
I don't think they,
but if you're close with a woman,
yeah,
it's not awkward.
Yeah.
The first time it would be.
Yeah. Like, I don't think guys really get turned off by that.
No, I mean, you like, expect it, you know?
Yeah, it's like, whatever.
The air goes inside. The bigger you are, the more air. So
oh, really?
You can actually take
it. Actually, no.
I think so. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know, but have you ever seen that workout video where the girl is like teaching and then she just lets out a...
No.
Oh my God, it's the first thing that'll pop up on YouTube. Please
really?
YouTube it right now, yeah. Watch it right here.
But can you hear
it? Yeah, you can hear it. Yeah, she's literally teaching a class,
right,
a workout class.
Right.
She's like one of those people that has like, you know, the workout tapes.
Right.
So it's like filmed. Uh-huh. And she's teaching a move and she just lets out a huge queef and everyone starts laughing.
Oh my God. Well, we'll see it after because I want Elon to see it too. But that's funny. What's it called then?
Just type in woman queefs during workout. It'll be the first video.
Oh, so it's a queef. It's not a
fart. That's what they call pussy farts.
Right,
queefs.
I know.
Yeah.
So it's a queef. It's not a fart.
No, it's a pussy fart.
Oh, wow.
But queef very sounds cool. More professional.
I know. No. I like queef. They used to have that on Howard Stern all the time. Bringing in women that would actually sing a song with their fucking vagina. I mean, what the hell?
How do you even find those people? They emailing him? Like,
hey,
look what we can do.
They find him, exactly.
And then they go on thinking their life is going to change, and then no one remembers you after that.
Oh, they do. Now they do with the video and everything. If they want people to remember you, then they will.
Yeah.
You know? There's no doubt. So, in the last few minutes we have, mm-hmm. Elon, tell us a little bit about the audio thing that you do, because...
The audio thing?
The
program.
Yeah, no. The program that you have.
So I'm a spiritual mentor and a guide, and I work with sound, and I have a T-line.
That's what I meant, sound. Why did I say audio? I don't
well,
know.
Well, it is audio. Because
it's Monday morning.
Audio healing.
It is audio. It is really sound therapy. But really everything is really to map your experience and to help people get out of the situations that they're in,
right,
or how you look at certain things, and to feel your vitality again and to feel your power again and to feel how great you are without all the construct and stories that you've been taught and you've been conditioned to. So working with sound is important because we omit sound. You know, there are four faculties, right? There is how do you say it in English? Domem?
Inanimate.
Somer.
Inanimate. Plant.
High. Animal.
Yeah, you're trying to get too deep now. People are not going to get it, man. We
and
don't
so
have much
anyway,
time. Yeah.
So they're four levels. The voice.
Right.
The what we take out, the voice, is the difference between everything else that exists on this planet and
right.
us, the humans. And really,
so
we are creating the vibration.
So that's what from everything else.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Because that is divine.
Right.
Because in 10 utterances, the world was created, right?
Right.
By he all, let it be light, right? And so we have the power to create. That's what abracadabra, that's what the show is called in Aramaic.
Right.
It means I create what I speak. Create meaning creating something from nothing. So working with sound and helping people.
That's why
to,
genies say abracadabra.
Yeah.
Well, it comes from Aramaic. And,
Yeah, but the genie says that because.
Yeah, in Aladdin, he says that.
Yeah,
every time he makes
a
wish, he says abracadabra.
Right. And it means like it's going to happen.
I create what I speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what I say
exactly.
is. So I help people and I work with people to to channel how they perceive things and how they see things and map their experience, mm-hmm. and use sound as a guide. Use sound to talk to talk to yourself, mm. and to talk to. I talk to all 13th of me.
Really?
Yeah, we're all 13. Sometimes we get along good. Sometimes yeah.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about. So.
I don't either.
Like, I'm not just a listening to them.
But if you guys are fascinated by it, you know, maybe we're not the target market for it. But no, but there's a lot of people that love your stuff, obviously. And I think you have a lot to convey to people. I saw myself the when we did the bowls here and everything, yeah, how yeah, effective yeah, that yeah. shit is. Yeah. So, but if you guys want more of Ilan, tune in Sundays at noon.
Yeah.
Right here on LA Talk Radio Channel 1, the show's called Abracadabra.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, create he called it speak, that. Yeah. Yeah, create what you speak, because that really describes what Ilan is, his approach, I think, yeah. to the creation way, yeah. and everything.
Yeah, and so, how everything is, because everything is tied into everything.
Right.
Everything is connected.
So you're very spiritual, and when did you pick that up? Were you always spiritual?
I was always, as a kid, I was spiritual and would talk to different entities, but that was shut down just because where I grew up and how I grew up, and it really opened up about 8, 9, 10 years ago.
Something yeah, like, what yeah. prompted that? How did you get into it like 10 years ago?
A woman.
A woman.
It's always a woman always or a man. Woman.
Right.
Always. You know, sure. a man will always seek for a woman, and a woman will always yearn for the man. That's mm-hmm. the yin and yang also.
Yeah.
It's always
like facts. That.
Always.
Yeah, well.
That's where we, you know.
Yeah, that's why, you know, and that's, Darwin has said the same thing. You know, we do this because males need to spread their seed and women need to multiply, and that's what drives everything. You
well,
know?
When I said the woman, it wasn't in the sexual context, it's just in the he triggers you, and then things come up.
What if you meet somebody and you think that you triggered each other, but then the other person just doesn't want to see you again?
Then you didn't. You did trigger each other.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, I mean, we all the time trigger. We all the time meet through our wounds.
Is it easy for people to forget other people? Because I never forget about anybody.
No, but listen, what you did is, yeah, I can forget about people.
Really?
Yeah. But what you did is you went to something that you knew was going to be limited.
I know. And then I wanted it to be more because I liked my experience. Blah,
exactly.
blah, blah, blah,
right?
blah. My best friend says that the reason he is not being as open as he was before we met is because he thinks I'm already too attached.
Yeah, I agree.
All because I asked
and
how the fuck are we?
He doesn't want you to be close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, no, why can't I just meet someone who's like wide open and available?
Well, right now you haven't really
when you
made yourself
wide,
available to
you
for people
wide,
to be
open and available. You will find a person that matches your energy.
I know. I had this conversation the other day, and I was like, sometimes I feel like not just me, but other women. Oh, forget that. We'll talk about that another time. I wanted to tell you that my coworker yesterday at work. I asked her how her Saturday night was because she got off early.
Right.
And she said that she went to a swingers club with her girlfriend.
Really?
And I took a picture of the wristband, and I'm uh-huh. going with my other coworker because I want to YouTube about it. Because I've never been there, but I've watched so many like movies and like right. porns about it.
And
I
you
just
don't
wanna...
have to participate.
No,
either.
You don't. She said they didn't. They yeah. just walked around, but she covered her wristband because I guess if they see that you have single on your wristband, like the people flock to you. But
exactly.
men are not allowed to go by themselves. They have to go with a woman.
Right.
So
right.
even if it's just a friend.
Because they don't want too many men there.
Well, no, and they don't want women to feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. I read yesterday about somebody who's doing these events here.
Right.
And there is also a very important thing that she brought up, because you go to these places and you say, men, don't touch. You're supposed to ask. But what about a woman?
Oh, so say you're a man, right? And you go with your wife.
Yeah.
You both are going there because you're willing to participate
right.
with others. Say you find someone that you're interested in. That woman has to ask permission from his wife.
Right, yeah, for sure. Right.
So the woman his wife could be like, no.
I went to a swingers club when I lived in Vegas because I was sort of like gonna do like a whole animation video interactive thing
about
the swingers club they had because it was amazing.
Right.
But I participated a couple times and we don't really have much time to get into it. But let's say that was in like the 80s mm-hmm. and then people like you know, they didn't care about what the fuck they were doing.
See, I wouldn't participate. So, that's not why I want to go.
Actually, in the 90s.
I want to go just to watch.
In my 30s.
And I can be like, wow, this is what people are doing.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying. At first, I just watched.
Yeah.
And then I thought, what the fuck, you know? So I joined in. And sitting in the spa, this woman comes next to me, start touching me and shit.
Yeah.
And then she says, you know, I'd like you to, you know, to go in the room with me, and my husband's going to be there too. I said, what the fuck, you know? So it's like, mm-hmm. we started going at it, and suddenly she's like, her husband's fucking like sitting right there, yeah. and I'm fucking her.
Yeah.
And suddenly I'm looking up and I'm seeing there's like 20 people around.
Yeah, you can watching. Literally just watch. So my girlfriend
I'm like, what the fuck? But this was when I was in my 30s. I was
you're not allowed to go
I was
by yourself.
A bull, you
you're
know?
Not allowed to go by yourself.
No, most of them you can't.
Yeah.
But in that one you could.
So my friend went with her girlfriend, and her girlfriend's her and her boyfriend go to swinger parties all the time.
Right.
But they went together instead, and she said they walked into a room. Some guy was like had his girlfriend tied up and was like having sex with her, and then he basically was like, "You're gonna come in 3 seconds."
Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, I just want to go just to go.
Yeah.
So I can like talk about my experience on YouTube. But other than that, I'm not going to participate because STDs is a real thing, y'all. I don't know how those places
are clean.
You
can check it out and actually enjoy that. Yeah. Anyway, we're totally over time here. Elon, tell people how they can find you if they want to join your program and be healed.
So, so absolutely. So Sunday, 12 p.m., Abracadabra, Create Your Speak Here, Channel 1. Facebook.com is Body Soul Sound. And BodySoulSound.com too.
BodySoulSound.com or that's the name on Facebook and everything.
Exactly, yeah.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Elon. You're welcome
fun.
Back. We'll have to do this some more.
Sure.
And you go and have a great day, Danny.
I'm working, but thank you.
Yes, thank you everybody for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.